I'm going to have you turn in your scripture this morning to Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading at verse 20 through 23. Also on the reading this morning, 1 Kings 17, then also Jonah 1, verse 17. Now the fifth day, how many of you know what God created on the fifth day? Anybody off the top of your head know what it is? Okay, yes, partially. Sea creatures and birds, correct. What do we sing about in that song? Gentle as a what land upon you? A dove, exactly. So we have that image of what God created this morning. So this is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to dive back in. Now take a look at my blocks over here. We still believe God is creator. That's our foundation. And so we build off of that. And so I'm going to touch on some things this morning, my message, that where evolutionists try to derail that. And so we're going to discuss that as well like we have in the past. And so let's read together from Genesis. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it according to their kinds. And every winged bird according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. Now turn with me to the book of 1 Kings. Chapter 17, verse 6, about page 551 or so in your Bible. I want to read this to you because it's going to tie into our message here in a little bit. I just got to one verse, but I want you to... So Elijah is at odds and with Ahab. And God tells Elijah, I'm going to send a drought. You tell Ahab, this is what's going on. So, and Elijah says that. And then God says to Elijah, this is where I want you to go, that you'll be taken care of. You'll be fed. You'll have water. And this is how it's going to work. All right? Verse 6 is what comes into play here. Let me find my spot. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. So notice what fed him. Now go to the book of Jonah with me. Jonah is about on page 1443 or so. Jonah chapter 1. How many of you know the story of Jonah? Right? Yeah, a very good Sunday school story that everybody pretty well knows and has learned. So verse 17 is what I want to read to you out of chapter 1. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. That's the story of Jonah. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's by your Holy Spirit that you feed us. And we pray for that Spirit today to be unleashed within this church, over your people. Lord, in me as I deliver your words today to your people as well. May these words be yours and never mine. Lord, I pray too that as these words come from my mouth and they resonate with those that are listening, Lord, may you open their hearts, their minds, and their souls to receive your teaching. Lord, that we may learn and grow who you are and how to live this Christian life. In Jesus I pray, amen. How many of you have debated this question right here over many, many years? Which came first, the chicken or the egg? All right? So I'm going to answer that question for you this morning biblically, and you're going to know what came first. All right? So you're going to be able to live here with some wisdom today. So I'm excited about that for you today. Now, let me just expand a little bit more into day five as we get into the message of this morning. On the fifth day of creation, God created the flying creatures and the sea creatures. Now, if you're into dinosaurs, especially the flying kind of dinosaurs, let me address briefly that when scientists use the word prehistoric, that is not a biblical word. Evolutionists try to use the word prehistoric, meaning long, long time ago, millions and millions of years ago, that these dinosaurs were created. And we will get to that sermon someday about dinosaurs because they are real. We found fossils of them and skeletons and so on, and we'll talk about that, but not today. But I want you to think about the word prehistoric. It is a word that evolutionists use. It is not to be used for Christians because we believe in the foundation of God and the 6 days of creation and what that looks like as a Christian. The word dinosaur, by the way, just a little tidbit here for you this morning. I'm going to have a little trivia for you in here as well, so get your Bible trivia going. So that word came about in 1841, the word dinosaur. Before that, it never existed upon the earth. Now, that doesn't mean that dinosaurs weren't here or that they weren't finding bones of those things, but the actual word came about in our vocabulary in 1841. Another debate that I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this morning in day five of creation, but I want you to think about this, and it's kind of like, it's so minuscule, but yet you might wonder, day five of creation is flying insects versus spiders and bugs. I mean, you could split hairs on that. So when did God create the spider? Because it doesn't fly. But the mosquito flies. So did God create the mosquito on day five? I can't answer that for you, but I'm going to assume that. Let's just go with that, all right? Somewhere between day five and day six, God created the mosquito and the spider and those other things that crawl around that fly or don't fly. And I cannot answer why God created the mosquito either. I don't have that answer for you today. But I wonder why, right? I'm assuming it's part of our ecosystem, but yeah, I haven't figured out a good cause for it yet. So I can't answer that biblically. But anyway, you might come across those types of debates. Theologically, not a big deal, all right? But you might talk about those sometimes in circles. But this is kind of what the scripture talks about. So, but let me move ahead just to the next slide here, and let's talk about, since God is our creator, right? The foundation. He's the creator of the birds and the sea creatures, and that he owns them, and he uses them, and he can direct them to be used to affect our lives in great ways. So I want you to think about the biblical story that I read you this morning out of 1 Kings chapter 17, when Elijah was fed by the ravens. It brought him food day and night. That's how he survived. And so we see in God's created world that every part of creation, besides the mosquito, has a use. That God uses it for his glory, he uses it for his purpose, and sometimes we don't always understand what that might look like or what that is, but we have story after story in Scripture where God uses his creation to bring people closer to him, to whatever it is, like Elijah, to help him survive through a drought that lasted several years. God cared for him. So what other biblical story? Now, here's get your thinking caps on here this morning. What other biblical story do we see God use his creation? And I want to talk specifically about birds. You know it well. Who? Noah. All right, so here's my question for you this morning. In fact, I got a slide for this. Which two birds did Noah send out of the ark as messengers? What do you think? See? Is that what you're thinking? How many of you think it's A, the parrot and the dove? All right, thank you. I'm glad that you didn't raise your hand. B, how many of you aren't going to raise your hand because you're afraid that you might get it wrong, right? C, the raven and the dove. What about D, the eagle and the dove? All right, C is the correct answer. If you go back and you read through Genesis 9, where Noah sent out the raven first, and then he sent out the dove to look for dry land. But God used his birds, his created things, to help Noah figure out, you know, what's going on in the world. Can I land this ark? Can we get off? Is it ready for us to survive on the earth? And so, I just want to send you a reminder this morning that we serve a mighty God. God knows everything. He understands everything. And that he is in control of the world that you and I live in. And many times you might think, I don't know if God's in control. But yes, he is. He allows certain things to go on in the world that you and I live in, and all to his glory as well. And so, we know that God created the sea creatures, the great creatures of the sea, and every living thing that which the water teems with. and moves about in it according to their kinds. Now, evolutionists, they will try to tell you that this is where life started, in the sea. That some kind of amoeba or whatever you want to call it formed a cell, and that it evolved out of the sea. And it's quite a story if you look at it and you read into it, that it actually then it moved on to land, and that some land animal moved back into the sea and became a whale, and it's just quite something. But that's where they try to put the basis for evolution, is that it came from the sea. So let me ask you a question this morning. Where's your foundation when you hear things like that? Where are you going to land as a Christian in the world that you and I live in today, with the things that you may be coming across, you may be here, you might hear in eighth grade science class, whatever it might be? Where are you going to land with your faith? What is your foundation going to be based off of? Because there's a lot of crazy things out there that you can be taught or see or hear, and if you don't know your scripture well enough, you're not going to understand. You're going to be drawn away. You're going to hear things that are going to confuse you or won't make sense to you. And I know that you're here this morning because you want to hear the Word of God. But if our foundation is upon God as creator, we know that plants and trees were created before the sea, and all the creatures of the air and the sea on day five. Because that's what we believe. And I hope that's just not what you believe, because that's what you experienced in your life. As God is leader of your life, God has made a difference in your life through the working of the Holy Spirit to bring that word to life. So once again, I ask you another question that I'd like to point out. There's an aquatic sign that is used by God to point to Christ. All right? It's on the screen. Do you know what it is? The story of a Jonah who's rebellious and didn't want to follow God, and God captured him in this whale in the sea, right? And if you look at the book of Jonah, and if you really broke it down, there's so much depth going on in that book of what's going on, it would blow your mind. So you think about the sea creatures, that God has control of them as well. Jonah 1 verse 17, it's in the green box on the screen. Listen to this story now. Now the Lord provided a huge fish. And by the way, we do not know what kind of fish it was. The Bible doesn't tell us that. We assume it's some kind of a large whale, but we're not sure. And so we just go with what the Bible tells us, that it's some kind of a large fish that God provided to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish how many days and nights? 3 days and three nights. Who else do you know that was affected by 3 days and three nights? Jesus Christ. Exactly. In fact, Christ uses this to rebellious people. Specifically, the Pharisees and the scribes. And he uses this verse right here. Matthew 12, verse 40. As he's talking to the Pharisees and the scribes, and this whole way of church is starting to change, and he's been performing miracles and all kinds of things, and he's telling them, no, this is how you need to do church. This is how you need to love people. It's not always about the rules and all that kind of thing. And they're kind of blockheaded, and they're not getting it. And then this is what Jesus says, and I'm going to add a verse to that this morning. Verse 39, and he said this: a wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. Right? They knew the story. They read it well. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And they didn't understand that he'd go to the cross, that he'd die for our sins and their sins. But the story was there. If God is our creator, can he make anything happen? Have you ever thought about that? If the Father can resurrect Christ from the dead after 3 days, can he make anything happen? If he can sustain Jonah in a whale for 3 days, can he make anything happen? If he can feed Elijah in the desert for a couple of years by a bird, can he make anything happen? And the answer to that is yes, for sure he can. So let me ask you a question this morning about your faith journey. I don't know, you know, I know where some of you are at and some of the things you're going through as your pastor, but not everything about everybody. But let me ask you this morning. Do you ever doubt God with the things that you're going on in your life today? Now, let me clarify that just a little bit. It's a natural thing for all of us to doubt God from time to time because we're human. But our job is to continue to grow in our faith, to trust God for the circumstances that we find ourselves in the world that you and I live in. So think about this for just a moment. Sometimes we think that God isn't big enough to take care of our problems, right? Why don't you ask Jonah about that, or Elijah? Sometimes we think God doesn't care about my small everyday problems. Why do I want to bother him with those things? But God cares for those too. Sometimes we get stubborn like Jonah, and we don't ask for God to help us because we think we've got it all figured out. And we try to do it on our own. That's called living in the flesh, by the way. If God can direct a bird to feed Elijah, I think that God can handle our problems. If we let him. Think about that this morning. I want to make a little bit of a switch here for you now in this message. There's a word that I want to point out in the scripture today that has huge implications for you and I. If you have your Bible open or if you got the outline this morning, you want to circle this because this is so important. It's an important word that I want to share with you that up to this point it's never been used in the book of Genesis so far. But it comes out here, and it also comes out in day 6. And it's the word living. I want to point that out to you now. If you're in Genesis 1, verse 20, and God said, let the water teem with living creatures. All right? Now, there is a word, if you look at the Hebrew, you get to understand that. But the word living in Hebrew is translated nephesh. Nephesh. And the word means life, right? And it's used for the very first time in this set of verses, that God gives life. Now, if you go the day before, he created what? Plants, right? Do plants have life? No, not like you and I have, right? Do plants have life like animals have? No, not like you and I have and the animals have. There's a difference there. And so the first time that we see this word, nephesh, or nephesh, is that it's the giver of life. And it's so important because this is what it means for you and I, that when you and I are created on day 6, which we get into next week, that God has given you a soul. Do you get it? Your soul, and I'll address the animal part in just a minute, but your soul is created at this point to be eternal. Never dying. We'll go to one place or the other, heaven or hell. Right here, in this set of verses, we see that word get used. We're going to dig more into this next week. I mean, it's powerful. Life. When Jesus says, I have come to give you what? Life. To what? The fullest. Right? Yeah. Nephesh. Plants don't have it. Now let me clarify that with you this morning. And if you got young children with you, you might have some interesting conversations on the way home this morning. Animals are not given an eternal soul. Only you and I. Humans are given an eternal soul. Now they have nephesh because God's given them life. But it's not eternal. They're here for our enjoyment as long as God gives them life. or they are here for food or whatever it might be. But you and I are given life eternal. Nefesh. Now you'll notice that at this point in our conversation, we are not to Genesis 3 where sin entered the world. At this point, God's creating it and it is good. And so there was no death before sin at this point yet. There's no, you couldn't destroy a nefesh. You couldn't destroy the soul. And God, in fact, God, when he created Adam and Eve, which we'll get into next week, they were made eternal, right? They were not created to die. That was not God's plan. And so when you and I, how many of you in here have lost loved ones? Right? All of you could put your hand up for that. You and I are not created to experience death because we have been made nefesh, eternal. And so when death comes to you and I, when your loved one passes away, and all of you lost loved ones some more recently, it hurts, doesn't it? It tears at your soul. You're saddened by it. You miss them greatly. And here's what I want to tell you, is that when God created you nefesh, that you and I are supposed to live for eternity upon this earth. And so when death comes, you're not created for that. It's out of its natural order in the way God created you. And so when death comes, it hurts so bad. But then Jesus came, right? And we know that sin entered the world. And then for you and I to escape this body of filth and sin and this world that you and I live in, they open the gateway to death. That when we pass away as a believer in Jesus Christ, we get to enter into an eternal hope with Jesus Christ in heaven. Death is our passageway to eternal life, but does not make it easy. That's the importance of day five, nefesh. And we're going to get into this further on in Genesis about our created souls and the depth that God had given us. I wanted to share that word with you this morning because you've been given real life. And you've been given the opportunity of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Meaning that you're also going to encounter very tough, hard times in life, especially in the loss of a loved one. But have hope, because Jesus has already won the battle. All right? Let me finish with this. God gave a special blessing to all the sea creatures and the flying creatures in Genesis 1, verse 22. He said, be fruitful and increase in number. Even in a fallen world, we see God's hand at work as concern for animals. And I don't have this on the screen this morning, but let me just read to you a verse out of Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. It says this. I want you to put yourself in this verse as well. Look at the birds of the air. All right? They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your Father feeds them. Your heavenly Father. Are you not much more valuable than they? And you are. You are loved by God. So he commanded them to be fruitful and to multiply. He cares for his creation and he keeps it in balance. God cares for you and I in that same way. You're loved deeply by the Father. I want you to remember that this morning as you leave here. Whatever you're going through in life, that God loves you. So let me answer the question. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? All right? So here's your biblical backing to that. So I took out some words. This would be a pretty long set of verses. Genesis 1, 21 through 22. I took out the part about the sea creatures, and I just left the animal side in there. So I want you to think about the chicken now, all right? All right, so here's what it said. God created every winged bird according to its kind. So he created the chicken. You got that now? All right? And then he said this. It was good. All right? How, if you like chicken, you know, that's a good thing. God blessed them, and then he said to the chicken, to the birds, right? Increase on the earth. And the chicken laid an egg. There's your answer. All right? So you can go home and debate that over the kitchen table now for supper or dinner today. What came first, the chicken or the egg? The chicken came first, and then laid the egg. All right? And as Paul Harvey would say, now you know the rest of the story. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're reminded of your goodness and the way that you create. Lord, we see the birds of the air. We see the creatures in the sea. Lord, some are just so spectacular. Lord, you bless us with color and beauty and such a variety of things. And so may we just see your goodness and creation all around us. And Lord, may we stop to enjoy those from time to time in our lives. Lord, I just thank you for the word nephesh, that you gave life. Lord, that you gave us a soul that would be eternal. And so we celebrate that today. Lord, we look forward to it as we hear about it next week as well, day 6. Lord, and you create man in your image. Lord, prepare us for that message. And may the Spirit just continue to speak to us through this series as we dive back into the book of Genesis. In Jesus I pray, amen.